Well, good. Good afternoon, everyone. First of all, I would like to thank for inviting me to this conference. To thank the organizers. I'm really privileged to share some experiences with you in this important conference. So it will be a pleasure to do this presentation. So my presentation is basically about Nepal. But before I go into Nepal, I go back to my country. I am from Guatemala. I just like to give you a small introduction so you know where I am from and what's my main activity. I am from Guatemala, Central America, very next door to Mexico, for those who are not familiar. And I'm a sound recording engineer, and that's how I became into this audiovisual and multimedia new technologies industry that is constantly evolving. And I'm privileged to have lived 35 years of professional work since the analog days to the digital days of today. And I, you know, witnessed a lot of changes, and every year we see more and more, and it's fascinating to see. But also it is very hard to keep up with all these technologies. As we have been listening this morning, there are a lot of challenges and a lot of new tasks that we are supposed or asked to perform. So this slide that you see here is the name of my project, Lifetime Baby, I should say. It's been 30 years now since I created this Casa Cojón, which means a house of music. Cojón, it's a Mayan word. As you know, Guatemala, Mexico, Belize is the center of the Maya civilization. You know, it's a civilization that lived 4,000 years ago. We are full of temples, and but not only tangible cultural heritage, but also intangible cultural heritage. We are 15 million people now, and 50% of our population are indigenous Mayan descendants. They speak their languages. Cojón is one of the 22 languages that are still spoken. And during these last 30 years, I have been documenting their intangible cultural heritage through audiovisual media. So that's another aspect of why we're here today. You know, like a colleague of our previous lecture said, it is a teamwork. You know, we are just part of this chain, just one link on the chain, because now there are digital designers and so on, but you need all these elements to have an end product. So basically during these years, documenting the Maya culture, it's been 20, this is the archive, this is the result now, about 24,000 pictures, 1,500 hours of audio recordings of traditional music, 2,000 hours of video recordings, like 150 musical instruments, a lot of artifacts, ritual and domestic, paintings, and crafts. So these are some pictures of my people. Part of the photo archive, as you see, we still have a lot of traditions, a lot of our own spiritual way. There's shamans and traditional medicine, textile dances, and a lot of practices that are gone in other parts of the world. So intangible cultural heritage, it's very important. Since 2003, UNESCO called for a convention of intangible cultural heritage, which for so many years people have been worrying about tangible heritage, you know, buildings, stones, objects. But every object has an intangible part. You know, intangible means something that you cannot touch. So that's knowledge, you know, knowledge. It's important to have to preserve the knowledge, not just the stones or the objects, but how these objects were made, you know, why this, how this lady makes the textiles. Those kites, they require certain knowledge. If these people dies and we don't get their knowledge, those objects will be gone. So it is important to preserve the knowledge. So since 2003, UNESCO called for this convention, and we have been working on this. Some groups in the world have been dedicated to preserve, to document intangible cultural heritage. And also, I like to travel, so I've been documenting intangible cultural heritage of the world, I should say, of world cultures, which is fascinating. So, because not many countries are left with this privilege of, you know, a lot of the heritage of Europe, it's just in museums. And we are privileged in South America, in Africa, in Asia, that a lot of our, you know, these ancient traditions and practices are still going on. So as a result, there is a lot of archives in all the different formats, from slides to analog recordings, cassettes, magnetic tapes, videotapes, all the formats of video cassettes, Betacam, Betamax, you know, there's a long list of formats, then the solid state memories, and now you know, solid state memories, now the cloud. You know, there's a lot of storage ways of support media to store information. So also, this is the museum. This is where I work every day, and we have a lot of musical instruments, artifacts from pre-Hispanic origin also. That flute is from 400 years after Christ, and they have sounds. So, but we also need digital artists to do 3D, to do radiographies of what's inside, how the wind travels to make the sounds. So there's a lot of work to be done, and this is not a one person task. And also, we do some traveling exhibits. So that's a little bit about Guatemala and my background. Now I would like to talk about Nepal. So as you know, Nepal, it's there, and it's a little country. But it's to me, it's one of the treasures of humanity. You know, one of the few countries that is left, that is magic, that a lot of practices are still, you go there and you feel like you are in another planet. So, as you know, on April 25 this year, there was a big earthquake after 80 years. That's a very shaky area as Guatemala. We have 33 volcanoes, 200 quakes a day. You know, small movements are registered, seismographic. So we are very related to Nepal. And also the Maya culture, it's very, the more I go to Nepal or to Asia, the more I think that we come from that part of the world, you know, because the textiles, the traditions, the spirituality, the you know, the ways of agriculture, everything is very much connected. So this earthquake damaged, of course, not only sites. Unfortunately, about 9,000 people died. And just the valley of Kathmandu, which is the main capital of Nepal, the main city, has 7 World Heritage Sites in one valley, UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's like, some people say it's like Disneyland, you know, if you go there, because it's fantastic, you know. It's so these World Heritage Sites were some partially destroyed because of this 7.8 earthquake. But the difference with these heritage sites to my country, for example, is that there's still a life there. You know, they are not just monuments that you go and okay, and you photograph and that's it. There's daily activities. There are festivals. You know, it's very important. It's not just a building. So the idea of this project that I'm working now, that I'm going to share with you, I still have some minutes. It's a film that a documentation work through audiovisual like film of not only the sites but the festivals that go there. And the idea was, after when I heard about the earthquake, I thought, oh my God, you know, what's going to happen to these festivals? Because they are celebrated here. Are they going to continue? Are they going to be weaker, stronger? What's going to be the, what has been the impact of this earthquake in this World Heritage Site. So the result was fascinating. I just came back 2 weeks ago from being there like a month, filming the most important festival of the year, which takes place in Durbar Square, which is one of the World Heritage Sites in Kathmandu. And I would like to share some of the work with you. It's still a rough edit because it's a lot of editing. It's 30 hours of footage, and in 2 weeks I can not even screen the 30 hours. But pictures will speak by themselves. But the fascinating thing is was to find out that the festival was even stronger because it gave, the earthquake gave people more strength, more faith. The stones are on the floor, but they can reconstruct the stones. They have the knowledge. You know, they said, okay, there's beautiful wood carvings in Nepal. And but they said, we still have the carpenters. We can construct those, no problem. So there is work being conducted by different institutions, the Smithsonian Institution, ICROM from Rome, UNESCO, the Prince Claus Fund from Holland. They are funding restoration projects for rebuilding the stones and the monuments and the wood and so on. But there's not much still being done about intangible cultural heritage. Nobody really is aware of it, you know. And it is the spirit of it. I mean, for me, it was amazing to see people dancing on the rubble, you know, praying, putting candles on the falling stones. You know, the spirit, the essence is just stronger than it was. So I will start running this because otherwise I will run out of time. And this video is basically just Durbar Square in Kathmandu, one of the seven sites. I didn't have time to put all of them, but this is the one of the main ones, and the festival takes place there. So I will explain a little bit while it's running. So you can see the three pagodas are gone. Just the structures remain because, of course, but this is how it used to be before the earthquake. Now, just the platforms. And you can see all the scaffolding and all the restoration. But there's a market. I mean, this is the daily life in that square. This what used to be one, this used to be that. Now that's what is left. But the ceremonies are taking place. The old pagoda. So there's still a lot of rubble and dirt and dust, cracks, you know, every building is cracked. Look at this palace, the Kumari house, which is the living goddess house. She survived. She was there by the earthquake. You look at all the wood carvings. The Kumari house was the only one house that did not fail. And there is a little girl living there who is the living goddess. So, people believe now more in that. Look at this market, they put their candles and the stones and, you know, like if nothing had happened. As we say, the show must go on. Wherever you go, there is a temple. There is a shrine. So this is before, and this is after. That's before this tower fell. You see just the big stone on the top fell. It's on the floor. Bro. This pagoda before and after, just the platform. Very sad. So the previous footage is from 2008. During a festival, the Dasain festival, which is like the new year for them. You see all the woodwork is on the floor, rubble all over the place. Some reconstruction work. And this is the living goddess, the little girl. This is in 2008. Palace, I should say. Every 8 years they change this girl. That's another story, too complicated to tell now, but when they reach their first menstruation, they leave the cargo, so there's another girl that they have healing powers and a lot of powers. And this is the festival, Dasain. So they combine Buddhist and Hindu religion. It's one of the only countries in the world that tolerates both religions. So you have Buddhist shrines on one corner and Hindu on the other side. This is a Hindu tradition, the Dasain. And 2008 was important also because they became like independent, the end of the king, of the monarchy. So they are now in a supposed democratic political system. This is one of their deities, the god of evil, of justice, which is also being worshipped every day in that. This is all in Durbar Square, which is like 400 square meters, 200 by 200, maybe 300 by 300. Those are sadhus, which are spiritual leaders. Part of the festival is to sacrifice animals. Blood is good for fertility, like the Mayas in my country. People dance on them. On the blood, and it's amazing, you know, it's really... This is one of the temples who was damaged, Taleju Temple. It's only open once a year, and not anyone can go there. The people are queuing up to go that particular day of the year, with music, with offerings also for the gods that are inside this temple. This was last month, Women's Day, Tih. It's the festival of women. They dance. They liberate from men. It's good. So this is the festival just last month. You see, they are dancing in the middle of rubble. You know, doesn't matter the earthquake. And this is the Indra Yatra, which is the most important festival of Nepal, which happened last month. There's a lot of rituals, a lot of decorations, a lot of... It's a 10-day festival. They begin... with this big pole, which is supposed to be Indra's pole, one of the gods' pole. A lot of traditional dances. So that's like a 30 meters pole. This is this deity is only shown that part time of the year. Otherwise, it's closed. They put some gates. It's the god of fertility. What you see in this palace, that it's almost falling down. A lot of beautiful architecture. So those are chariots that they used to take the living goddess around the city. But it is very nice to see the young kids keeping the traditions alive. That means there will be future, that they will not die soon. Thank you. So all the streets have all these shrines and different temples. Again, the god of evil, the justice god, is worshipped in the same Dover Square. So like in 2008, nothing has changed. There's more people now. The pujas, the tikas, which are good luck offerings. They give him rice. They drink beer. He spits beer from his mouth. And if you drink of that beer, you will be lucky. Your next year will be good. So this is the chariot of the living goddess. A lot of bronze work. A lot of artists involved in these festivals. A lot of knowledge. So these are the little living goddesses. Kumari, it's called. She can heal you or she can curse you. You don't mess around with her. That's very respected, especially now, after she survived the earthquake. Okay, I have to stop here because I want to respect the time. There's 1 minute left. And so this can give you an idea of how rich intangible cultural heritage is in this part of the world, and how both complement each other, you know, tangible and intangible, and how audiovisual media can contribute to do this documentation. And of course, if we had some 3D artists, we could reconstruct the pagodas, we could do a lot of virtual work combined with real footage, because we, in some countries you cannot get real footage anymore. Everything has to be virtual. But in some parts of the world we have this privilege, and this is the attempt with this project. This is just, like I said, one site. There is footage of 7 sites. Of course, not all have festivals. Or these intense festivals, but the idea is to continue the work. I will be going back to Nepal soon to finish another festival, and we hope to share this with the world, you know, with the help of UNESCO, the Prince Claude Fund, and some other institutions, Smithsonian. we hope to do a joint project. And anyone here, if he's interested to contribute, to be part of this team, you're invited. I can be around the next day, the next 2 days, if you have some interest in participating by doing some digital work, maybe. And I'm not a digital artist, but we need a team of people who you know, would like to contribute for this important work for the world. I think it's a legacy for the world, not just for one person. So thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy this presentation.